God. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence already in this place, Lord. We thank you for every person, Lord. We thank you for every family, for every child, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for a packed out church, God, and that you are reaching people and that you are moving. And Lord, just from the very start, we want to just say, God, we're focused in on what you're saying. Lord, give us ears to be able to hear your voice only. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will, Lord, heal our hearts, restore our hearts, Lord, transform us, Lord, by the renewing of our minds. And Lord, we know that as we open up your word, Lord, it's super important. And God, we just pray that the words will jump off the page and right into our hearts. Lord, this time is for you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning, Daryl said to me, happy Mother's Day, quadruple Mother's Day. He said, and it was like I was hardly even awake yet. And I realized, uh-oh, there's four of them. How did that happen? You know, well, yeah, we know how it happens, don't we? Like, we know how it happens. But yeah, but four of them, oh my goodness. And to have four of them in the house this morning, yes, it is a blessing. But honestly, I've got a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old. And I feel like I'm only about a 15-year-old myself because the time has just gone like that. And I do not feel qualified enough. I'm like, Lord, why did you choose me to bring up these kids? I need your wisdom. I need your voice. I need your word. Lord, and anybody else, you're in the same boat. You're just like, I'm winging it every day. Every day I'm just winging it. I've never been here before. I've never been this way before. Amen. But thank the Lord, he has, and he goes before us, and he has everything that we need. Well, today we want to be talking about our authority. And immediately whenever I say the word authority, some people just tense up. You know, you're just like, oh gosh, authority. I don't like authority. And maybe you have some kind of negative connotations with authority. But any negative connotations that you have with it will be earthly ones, not kingdom ones. And the earthly authority that we know of is often modeled in a not very healthy way. It's, you know, I'm the strongest, I'm the best, I've got the position, you will listen to me, I will be heard, you know, things like that. But the authority that we have through the kingdom of God is an authority that is rooted in knowing that we are sons and daughters of the Most High Living God. That you are a son of the King. That you are a daughter of the King of Kings. Amen. And from that place, and from a place of position that he has set you in that place, then when you know your position in him, and you know the place that he has positioned you in, then you know that you're rooted in love, and that you are set in his hands, and that he is a good, good father, that he is good, and he has only ever been good, and he only ever will be good. Anybody thankful that we have a God that is good? Not only that, but that our God is love. He doesn't just have love. He doesn't just love us unconditionally, but he is love. He's the very essence of love. And when he says that we have authority in him, then that means that we are completely surrounded and held in love and in goodness. And anything that is outside of that just simply isn't God. So as the church of Jesus Christ, then what we want to say is we want to try and make our way from this earthly mindset of having to earn everything, of having to attain everything, of having to get it just right every single time, to then being in a mindset of, it's a kingdom mindset where I understand the grace and the love that I am held in, and every decision that I make and everything that I do comes from that place. But we know that there's an in-between, isn't there? You know, we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind because we have that old sinful self that, yes, has completely been done away with by the cross. When you know and love Jesus, you know him as your savior, then you know that you've been transformed from the inside out. But our minds are sometimes playing catch up. You see, my kind of authority at home sometimes is, you will feel my wrath, Daryl, not the kids. I'm only joking. Kids, not Daryl. And yet, That is not how God wants us to stand in his authority at all, because he is abounding in love and tender mercy. He is abounding in grace. And the Bible tells us that we can get angry and sin not. But to go to a place of wrath and weaponizing is a place that God just simply does not want us to go to. So he wants to hold us in his love. He wants to hold us in his hand. He wants us to understand his grace and his forgiveness and also his abundance. So much of what we do is out of fear rather than being placed in his love. And so even just right now, I wonder, could you just say to God, just in your heart, Lord, I need to understand more of your love. I need his love. Anybody here, you just need to understand his love. We need to know that we are loved to be able to love the world around us. We need to understand that we are loved to be able to give love to the people in our lives. And the only place that love comes from is God himself. A few years ago, I felt the Lord saying to me at the start of a year, he said, I am going to show you my love. You're going to understand my love better than you've ever understood it before. And my response to God was, well, that's okay, but Lord, I know you love me. And I just kept on hearing him say this or putting it on my heart. No, you don't understand it enough yet. You're going to understand how wide, how deep is my love. You're going to understand it better than ever before. And I went, well, God, I don't know how you're going to show me that, but I'm open. So that's okay. And I went through a bit of a process that was not planned out by me, but it was planned out by God. And that was a process of him being able to heal the fears in me, the fear and just that kind of just the things that would block out God's love. And it was areas that I didn't even know that I needed him. You know, I thought that I had as much of God as I could get, and that was enough for me. But there were areas in my life where then I saw him just pour his love in. Places that actually were pretty disgusting in the sight of God. Places that, you know, as a mom who has kids in her responsibility, as a wife, as the leader of a church, I'm so glad that the Lord addressed fears in me to be able to lift my hands off a little bit and trust him that wee bit more. To be able to not judge like I was doing and things like that. But yeah, I know that now, standing where I am, there's even more of his love to understand. There's even more of his love that he wants to reveal to me and you. And we haven't even caught a glimpse of it yet. And when we get to heaven, we're going to understand it fully. And that will be someday to be there. And I can't wait. And we're all going to be there together. So that's good. You know, sometimes way back, we used to always say, oh, we just love each other so much. And we love serving together so much. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to go home and we all just lived together? And then we started to realize it sounded a bit like a cult. And we're like, okay, no, that's not going to happen. You know, that only ever goes one way. And that's bad. So that's not going to happen. But for eternity, I believe it's a desire that the Lord's put in our hearts, because for eternity, we are going to be together and we're going to be together in him. And so that's going to be so good. Anyway, here's the thing. Okay, let's get to the message today. So in the very beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and he gave them a dominion and authority over the earth. Genesis 1 verse 26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Thank the Lord that we have dominion over the creeps of the earth. Amen. Amen. So God's got that covered. But do you know what? He has given us authority in the beginning over the earth. But then what happened was, as you probably know, or maybe you don't, but to make it clear, what happened was Adam, he sinned and he listened to his wife. And this is not a ticket, guys, for you not to listen to your wives, but she just wanted to be more like God. And so she just said, you know, she told him what the serpent had said, and the serpent tricked them. And here they were, and they had disobeyed God and gone against the law of God, gone against what God had laid out for them to do. And in doing that, then the fall happened. Sin entered the world. The world became a place that it never should have been, and the place that God did not design it originally to be. And there was a separation from man and God. And so man, Adam, and Eve, his wife, they walked together with God in the beginning and had authority over all things on the earth. But by that one simple thing, making that one simple decision to go against what God says and to eat of the fruit, then they actually surrendered their authority over the earth and they gave that authority to the enemy. And that's why there's a ruler of this world and his name is the devil. His name is Satan. And, you know, the Bible calls this earth a dark earth. We know by even turning on the news or by scrolling too long on Facebook or Instagram, we know that the earth is a very, very dark place. But I want to tell you that the reason for that is because for a short while, the enemy, the devil, has been put in charge of things here. So where are we as Christians here? Well, we know, and we thank the Lord for this, that we are post Jesus coming to the earth. Amen. I am so glad that I live now in this time and not back in the Old Testament. I didn't have to do it all myself. Jesus came and he won the victory on the cross. And when he did that, he set us free. And when we know and we trust him, we put our faith in him, then we say, Lord, I take on your identity. I'm dying to myself. Lord, I'm picking up my cross every day with you. You know, he filled us up with his love and his forgiveness. And he created a brand new way for us. But for this short time, this little interim, we're living in a fallen world, but we have a transformed spirit. And actually, we as Christians now again have been given authority and dominion over this earth, every place that we walk. Amen. I don't know if you realize that before, if this is the first time that you've ever heard it, but we are not slaves to this world any longer if we know and we trust Jesus as our Savior. You're not a slave to the devil anymore. Instead, we're slaves to Christ. And what a privilege and a joy that is. It says here in Colossians 2, verse 14 to 15, it says, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal commands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame. Everyone could see it. The enemy could see it. He put them to shame by triumphing over them in him. So this is saying that once and for all, our sin was nailed to the cross and Jesus made a way for us to have freedom and to be in right standing with God the Father. Amen. Jesus won the victory. So one man, Jesus, had to pay for the sins that one man made. He had to pay for the mistake that Adam had made. Why? Because God can never, ever go back on his word. Just at the minute in Kids Club, they're learning that God always keeps his promises, and he does. He can never, ever go back on his word. So Jesus was the ultimate atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus has all authority. It says this. So what happened after Jesus died and was risen again? It says, and what is this? Is it coming up there? Yeah. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So this is where Jesus is. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Notice this, not just in a heavenly place, but in heavenly places. Incredible. It says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. How far above? It says far above, not just a little tiny bit above. You know, Satan has got all this power and then God just has like a little bit more power. No, Jesus is seated far above the rule and the authority and the dominion and the power of this world and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as a head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. These scriptures are absolutely incredible. I encourage you to take a picture, do your own research into it, and find out if there's any of this here stuff. And it's like, oh, what's that? Oh, I'd love to know a wee bit more about that. That's what the word is for. It's so that we get into it and so that God will speak to us out of his living word. So Jesus has been placed at the right hand of the Father, is seated in heavenly places, far above all. You know, if you've ever been up in an airplane and you everything looks huge right in front of you, but then you get up in that airplane and you get far above it all, and all of a sudden you can nearly see our whole country. You know, if it was a clear day, you could see this island, or you could see a lot of it. And you go, how does that happen? But it gives us some kind of perspective of being seated far above and over all. And God is completely and utterly in control. So the devil might have a little bit of control right now on the earth, but our God reigns. And he will never and has never been knocked off his throne. He reigns forevermore. Amen. So that's where Jesus is. But then not only that Jesus has the authority, but Jesus himself gave authority to us as believers. And now it says that we are hidden in Christ, that we are his workmanship, that we are his, we are part of him. The Bible says that we, the church, we are his body. It's such a mystery. But Lord, I thank you that you're saying that I'm in you and not outside of you. I thank you, Lord, that you say that you've got me. You hold me. Here I am. And so we also, the Bible says, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So in the spiritual realm, we also have all authority and power and dominion, not because of that we are good Christians, not because we've never made a mistake, not because today is a good day, not because you've got charisma, not because you've got talent, not because of anything else other than Jesus made a way and we stand in his authority alone. Amen. Amen. That we stand in his authority alone. Luke 10 verse 19 says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. That's music to my ears, that nothing shall hurt me. See these verses? These are the verses that we need to put in our pockets for a bad day. These are the verses that we need to highlight and put in the notes on our phone. And we need to read this and read this over our families on a day that looks like the complete opposite, that everything is out to steal, kill, and destroy in my life. And we can say back to the devil, it is written that nothing will hurt me. Nothing will hurt me. And that I have all power and all dominion. Amen. Through Christ Jesus. Do you know, church, at the very start, when we started this church, I remember feeling like Daryl is called to it and I'm his sidekick. And I was, honestly, I thought that I just brought the pizzazz and the good looks. That's all. That's what I thought I was here for, you know? And I thought he's called to it and I'll prop him up. And then we remembered that we weren't just called to Armagh, but we were actually called to the world as well, the nations. And so it was kind of a bit of news to me when I heard that the mission trips would still be happening. I was like, I thought we're on mission every day now. Dad was like, no, the mission trips are still happening. And they're going to be a big part of what we do, because they always have been. I'm like, yeah, well, I suppose you're right. But then what would happen is that he would go away on these mission trips. And I had the kids who were very young. I think Jessica was maybe 3 and maybe Bethany, well, maybe 2. And Bethany was 1 or something like that whenever we started. And what happened was, you know, I would find myself alone, begrudgingly alone. And then not only would I be doing life and, you know, family and keeping the house and the kids and all of that there, and poor me, you know, this was my attitude, terrible. But not only would I be doing that during the week, but then on a Sunday, I had the whole church to run on my own too. And I was like, God, I wasn't called to this. I was called to lead worship, not to be running a church. And I started to, well, the Lord did a lot of work on my heart and started to tell me, no, you're called and you need to lead this church and you need to stop making excuses and you need to start trusting me. Because what would happen was leading up to a Sunday, our kids would fall. And, you know, one had their tooth knocked out and 8 stitches across her eyebrow, and all of this would happen on like a Sunday morning, you know, or on a Friday or a Saturday leading up to a Sunday. It just felt like it was like attack after attack after attack. And then, you know, even there was one time where we were in the meeting and somebody starts like manifesting a demon in the middle of things. I'm like, that never happens when Daryl's here. Why does it happen when I'm here? But what it was that God was beckoning me in and calling me in to be able to stand in the authority that he had set for me. And he was telling me, stop living your life in fear and stop begrudging the thing that I'm calling you to as a couple. Stop begrudging the blessings, the kids that you have in your life, because it's too much on my own. Stop looking at it with fear and start to step into that authority that I've given you. Well, what I did do at first was I got people to pray. So I said, pray, 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 please, please pray for me, please pray for me. And anybody that I could, I'd be like, hey, Sunday's coming, Daryl's away, so please pray, please pray, please pray. And praying is good, but I was still stuck in fear. So then I was like, okay, hang on a minute. Something right now needs to happen inside of my mind. I need to realize that somebody has to be the mother here. Like in my house at that time, you know, when you go away on these trips, by the way, which were always a mutual decision. Can we go? Yeah. Can we do it? Yeah. But at that point, if I put my hands up and said, the real Slim Shady's away, the real parent is away. So who is our leader? Then we were just all going to be lost at sea. Somebody had to step up and be the parent. Now, in this room right now, I am talking to spiritual mums and dads. I don't know if you realize that you are that, but I want to tell you that you are. You're a spiritual mom or dad. If you've walked with the Lord, even for 5 minutes, you have something from the past 5 minutes to be able to share with somebody who's only just making that decision for him. Others are in here and you've been walking with the Lord for a lifetime and you have a lifetime of knowledge that you are ready to just pour out. And I want to tell you, stop holding back, because God's given you the authority to be able to stand and to be able to speak the truth in love to somebody who needs to hear it. So we all need to grow up. Turn to the person beside you and just say, grow up. That's just because that's fun. That's fun. Grow up. We all need to, I'm only messing, but we all need to grow up and we need to realize who God has called us to be and the authority that we have in us, because the same power that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of us. The only reason why God has given us the vision and the mandate to see a city saved is and called us to this church, you, me, the person beside you, is because you're the person to do it. Did you realize that? Elbow the other person on the other side and say, you're the person to do it. But we can only do it if we step through fear and we step to the other side of that and we step out in the authority that Jesus has given us. We need to have our shoulders back. We need to have our heads lifted that little bit higher when we walk down the street. And we need to know that God has placed me here for his purposes, for his glory. And I am going from glory to glory. And he is making me like his, in his image. I'm more like Christ every day. And so when I walk down that street in his authority, then I know that the demons are quaking in their boots, because here she comes coming. In his authority, she's got the authority of Christ on her. I better start shaking. In fact, I better just run and hide. And all of a sudden, a person's waiting there to be led to Christ. Come on, this is the place that we live in, and this is the authority that we carry. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching myself happy. Okay. So the Bible says in James 1, verse 22, it says that we're not just to be hearers, we're to be doers. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I don't want to be so spiritually fat, have a big spiritual fat head, and be just so full of knowledge, but not be a doer. Otherwise, I'm a swamp, and I'm not a river, and I'm not letting the river of the living water flow through my life, through my heart, through my words, through my actions, through my yes, Lord. We're not just to be hearers of the word, but we are to be doers of the word. Why are we to be doers of the word? Because authority comes whenever we start acting on the word of God. Authority comes when we start acting on the word of God. So, Lord, I'm reading what you're saying here, but I've got all these excuses. And he says, when are you going to step out in faith? When are you going to act on who I say that you are? Put away your sinful self and start to be the woman and the man that I have called you to be. Amen. Authority, it flows through obedience. And authority comes with responsibility. The responsibilities that we have in our lives, you know, maybe I encourage you to, just to even make a note of these in your own time. What are the things that have been put in my responsibility to do? At home, in church, in work, where are the responsibilities that really it's on my shoulders? And they might be ones that you actively went looking for and said yes to, or they might be other ones that have just kind of fallen on your lap. When we start to look at these things as opportunities that God has given us to be able to step in his authority into this world and snatch things from the enemy, then we start to realize that we're on mission. We start to realize that every single responsibility that we have is a place where we can get to know our sonship in him. Amen. A place where he is able to place his identity in us, and we're able to be his hands and his feet and his mouth and his action and his love and his heart to the world around us. Here's what Jesus did in Matthew 14, it tells the story of feeding the 5,000. It says, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. Pause there. When Jesus heard what? Jesus has just heard that his cousin and his friend and the one that baptized him, John the Baptist, has just been beheaded. He's just got heartbreaking news. News that for you or me would absolutely rock our world. Not only would I want to go away in a boat to a desolate place for a while, but I think that I would probably just want to, you know, run home and lock the doors and just hide for a lot longer and properly grieve. Properly grieve. And yet, here is Jesus. He tries to get away. He recognizes he needs to get away, not just to be by himself, but to be with the Father. Because every time he gets away, he's with the Father, spending time with the Father. But it says, but when the crowds heard it, that he was away in a boat to a desolate place, when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. We're going to get to the next bit, but let's just pause right there. When he saw the great crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So you mean that in a place of pain and in a place of grief and in a place of questioning, maybe he wasn't questioning like we do, fully God, fully man, but in a place of loss, in that place of grief, he was still able to bring his authority. He was still able to be who he was. He was still able to be there to do what he was called to do. He came to save sinners. He came to heal the sick. He came to bring himself, the presence of God, into the world. And even something as brutal as loss and grief was not going to withhold him from bringing love to the people that needed it the most. As a mom in here, if you're a mom or you're a dad, you know exactly what that is like. That there comes a morning, you don't feel like getting up, but you need to. Because somebody needs the breakfast. Somebody needs the cartoons switched on. Somebody needs to know where their uniform is. Somebody just needs that. But do you know what? When there's responsibility there and God puts responsibility in our lap, then we have to step up to that responsibility. Otherwise, some things are going to fall. But there's other things that we can be so mature in. There's other things that we can be so immature in and not taking hold who God says that we are in this church, in this town. And I believe, and what I'm looking for and what I'm hoping for is that when a letter is written about this church, just like in the Bible, letters are written about church after church after church, that the letter of this church will be one that says, they were people who understood their authority in Christ, and they not only said that they wanted to reach the lost, but they went and did it. Amen. And that is what we're doing. I want to encourage you that that is what we're doing, but I believe that there's even more. So although Jesus could have stopped and he could have complained and he could have said, oh, they always need me. Oh, they want fed again. Did we not just do this a couple of chapters ago? Oh, no. Instead, he steps up and he says, come on, let's go again. Let's make miracles happen again. It says, now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place and the day is now over. Send the crowds away and go into the villages to buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And Jesus said to them, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. And then he ordered the crowds to sit on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And then he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And then they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. They say there was about 20,000 or so that got fed that day out of one little boy's packed lunch because of the willingness of Jesus to be able to feed those that were hungry. I want to tell you today, he has more than enough for you. He has more than enough for your family. He has more than enough for this town. He has more than enough for this country. He has more than enough for this world. But when we say yes to him, it's our hands that he wants to use to be able to do the miracle. You know, in this story, we don't read that Jesus, he got the bread and he got the fish and he gave thanks and then he broke the bread and then he himself divided it up into 20,000 pieces or waved a magic wand and somehow it just arrived right in front of him. I mean, Jesus could have done anything. He didn't need a magic wand. He could have done it. He could have actually made sure that nobody was hungry again and food was just right in their tummies. I mean, let's think about what's possible to Jesus. Anything is possible. But instead, he just slowed down a bit. And he just said, it's not me that's going to do the miracle here. You give them something to eat. Okay, God. So he puts the food in their hands. And they have to go and feed the people and get their needs met. And this is exactly what God does with us. He says, you give them something to eat. Because he invites us in to be part of the miracle. Amen. Those that are in our lives, in our responsibility, maybe they're sick, maybe they're wounded, maybe they're brokenhearted. Maybe there's a diagnosis that you just wish wasn't there. Maybe they're battling just with their mind. Maybe there's just people and you could just give them a good shake. Or maybe you just need God to break through because in all areas it just feels like that you're being attacked. I want to just tell you to hear today that God has given you everything that you need in your hand. But he wants to do a miracle through you. And we forget that we are able to come before him in prayer, right to the very throne room of God, that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, with all authority over that thing that just seems so, so huge. And he's saying, will you bow the knee and will you pray? Will you get up early and pray? Will you read? Will you get into my word? Will you take my word to the lost and the broken? Will you declare my word over your kids? Come on. Just because maybe your kid made one mistake doesn't mean that they're going to go down that route for the rest of their life. God is able to break through and to break the cycle at any point. But will we pray and will we stand for who God says that we are and who this family is? Amen. He's called us to make a difference. We're going to get the worship team up. He's called us to make a difference and to bring the miracle to those who need it and to bring it again and again and again. But I want to remind you that it's not about what we do, but it's about who we are. It's about understanding who we are. That we don't need to do anything else to win his approval. We don't need to do anything else to be seated in heavenly places. We already are through what Jesus did. That means that when we get it wrong, which, by the way, we do. We do. And I could be the shining example of getting it wrong on a daily basis, getting things wrong. But the good thing is that I'm not standing in my own authority. But I'm standing in the authority of Jesus Christ. And when God looks at me, he sees his son and he says, come on, you're cleansed, you're washed. You've been washed in the water. You've been washed in the blood. Hallelujah. You've been washed. And he says, come on, get up. Let's go again. Let's get this thing sorted out again. Come on, let's start parenting together again. Come on, let's start leading together again. Come on, let's learn how to follow again, together again. Authority doesn't always mean to have the loudest voice. It doesn't always mean that we have to be the most charismatic. It doesn't mean that we have to have the most things going for us and be the person in the room that everybody would choose as the leader. Authority in him sometimes means that we are okay to be unseen, that we're okay to go low. Not everything do we need to understand to be able to agree on. What I'm saying there is, I remember a while back, there was different points. Maybe you've got things like this in your life too, but just disagreements. Every couple of days, you know, we're maybe disagreeing about something. Sometimes. No. Sometimes. But that thing could escalate and escalate and escalate to figure out who has the most authority in the room. Or you could just take your position and you could just take your authority by going low and saying, I understand how you feel the way that you feel. And I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that we have to have the same opinion as each other. But it does mean that we understand the authority that God has given us to be able to go low and to be able to understand each other and have love and have respect, that this isn't going to go up here. Where does it stop? Here's how Jesus put it. He said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. In John 13, it says that Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So what does he do when he knows this? He has come from God. He'll return to God. God has given him all authority over everything. Is he puffed up? Look at me. No, it says, so he got up from the table and he took off his robe and he wrapped a towel around his waist and poured water into a basin. And then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. He knew the position that he had was to be able to love. He knew the position that he had was to be able to serve. And it didn't shake his authority. In fact, it only proved his authority even more, because a whole room of disciples knew they were loved, knew who was in control, knew where the buck stopped, because he went low. Jesus was even in authority before he went to the cross. He says that nobody takes my life from me, but I lay down my life willingly. Greater love is no man than to give his life for his friends. Nobody could take his life from him, but he chose to lay it down. Let's just stand together and we're going to pray. I just want to pray for people here tonight, today, that really are going, you know what? I do feel like that I've got a lot wrong. And I want you to know that you're not in any condemnation in Christ, and you're not in any condemnation in this church, because every day is a fresh start with Jesus, and that includes today. And so I just want to pray for you right now, that you would know how wide and how deep is the love of Jesus Christ, that you would be overwhelmed with his love, and that you would feel no condemnation, and that you would feel no shame, and that you would know that he has everything that you need to be able to lead the way that you need to lead and how he's called you to be. There is no judgment. If he has judged us innocent, then who else is anybody else to judge us wrongly? So be free in the name of Jesus. You can have a reset with him today. Lord, I give you my life. Lord, I give you those things that are my responsibilities. Lord, I give you those things that you have placed in my hands. I'm not going to look at them begrudgingly. I'm going to hold them, Lord, and I'm going to really, really respect what you have given me. And Lord, where I'm standing in a lack of authority, God, I pray that you would help me to know my sonship in you, that I'm a son or a daughter of the Most High God, and that, Lord, that you would help me to be able to see as you see, speak, Lord, words of life and encouragement and hope. And Lord, right now, just for those who are facing something that they need to see God's authority in, Lord, we just pray, Lord, for the curse of sin to break in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that we are not under any generational curse, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just pray, Lord, and we break off any intimidation of the enemy. Lord, that the future looks bleak or the future looks like disaster. And we want to say, Lord, that our future and our kids' future and our grandkids' future is one of life and one of abundance and one of exceeding joy and one of exceeding hope and peace, Lord. And Lord, we speak peace over every mind, over every home right now, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the moms and the dads, the grannies, the grandas, the sons, the daughters, Lord, in this place. Lord, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you will help us to know that we have all authority in you. And Lord, that in the areas that we just need to grow up in and step into, Lord, that, Lord, the fear would go in the name of Jesus, and we will push through it and just pound it into non-existence and walk through it, Lord, to be able to get to the other side and be the people that you have called us to be, because there's a broken world out there that needs us, and there's a family that needs us, and there's kids that need us to be able to be your hands and your feet. So Lord, right now I pray that you will empower us by the strength of your Holy Spirit and fill us up, Lord, with everything, Lord, that you have for us. And Lord, that you would take us, Lord Jesus, in your love, Lord, and in your grace, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that you would cause just everything that we touch, Lord, to be blessed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just break off anything that has gone before. And Lord, right now, Lord, we say that today is a new day in you, a new day for me, a new day for my family, Lord. I will be who you've called me to be. I will do what you've called me to do. And I will not waste this day, and I will not waste this life in the name of Jesus. Be blessed. Be blessed, church.